Well, that was a long story. In this season of Lent, we do get to hear some interesting stories from the Gospels for sure. Last week, we heard about Nicodemus, and today we hear about the woman from Samaria. There's quite a contrast between these two stories. Nicodemus came to Jesus as a person who is in authority. First of all, he's a man, and secondly, he's a Pharisee. He is often seen as an insider. He knows what's going on. He's a person accustomed to being included in the loop, the close circle of knowledge. And he's a person that represents the community at its best, its very best judgment, its most intelligent, and its most privileged. He's a man going somewhere with a life of power, prestige, and inclusion. The woman who comes to Jesus today doesn't even have a name. Her identity is marked by her exclusion. She lives her day life in the shadows, coming and going to the well to find water each and every day, because she is both a woman and a Samaritan. She is a person who represents the margins of the community. And she is a woman going nowhere, a life of poverty, anonymity, and exclusion. But the Samaritan woman speaks to Jesus under the sweltering noonday sun, unlike Nicodemus, who sneaks through the streets of Jerusalem under the cover of night. And Jesus initiates the conversation with the woman. And that would immediately raise eyebrows and shock in those who might have observed this scene, as it did the disciples when they came back. And she is moved in the conversation to ask, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may never be thirsty or to have to keep coming back to draw water from this well." And in the conversation, Jesus breaks through all her barriers by asking her to call her husband, to go and get him, and to come back with him. You can almost hear the thud of her answer, "I have no husband." Quiet, defeated, maybe sad, maybe ashamed, but not necessarily. Her husband may have died, and the only way to be considered a person in those days was to be married as a woman. Who knows what she felt after that, having to answer that question? But Jesus doesn't judge her. He just says, "You tell the truth, because who you're with now is not your husband, and you've had five husbands." And by doing that, Jesus claims her attention. She looks at him, studies him, and almost believes him right then and there. The woman who doesn't belong shows us that faith is about dialogue. It's about growth and change, not about having all the right answers. And she responds to Jesus in such a way that Jesus reveals her identity back to her. And because of that, her identity evolves. She's touched and changed because she has been seen for who she is. When you read the Gospel of John, you'll hear the word or read the word "see" a lot. He uses it quite often. And it's not just meant to see, as in to be visually acute, but it means a certain theological activity. Because to see is connected with to believe. So in today's gospel, she says, "I see you are a prophet," which really means, "I believe you are a prophet." And Jesus sees her. He recognizes her. He speaks to her, and he offers her something of incomparable worth. He has seen her. She exists for him. She has worth and value and significance, all the things to which she's totally unaccustomed. And needless to say, it's an opportunity for her to be transformed. And in that heat of the midday sun, she carries on and leaves the shadows of her life behind telling others what God's done for her. This is what being seen for who we are does to us. It offers us new life. Now, each one of us often lives in the shadows of our lives and the shadows of how others perceive us. You know what I mean. We all have roles, and we all have those sort of masks we need to wear to protect ourselves at times, because we can't be vulnerable all the time. But you might be known as priest or rector, much more formal, or person in the choir, singer, or a parishioner, or a husband, or a wife, or a son, or a daughter, or someone who's retired, or someone who studies, or someone who works. All of those things are true, but they're also perceptions, and they're things that we often can sort of hide behind. And there are other things which we learn about or say about ourselves that we can hide behind. I remember one time in my life I hid behind the idea that I was a dependent, unself-reflective, and uncommunicative. Now, because that's how someone I knew saw me, I believed them. I began to believe that that's exactly the things I was. And, of course, the sooner I believed it, the more I started to act that way. I became more dependent, I became more unself-reflective, and I didn't want to talk about it. And I became more and more unhappy. And then I had a powerful experience of being seen differently by others who loved me. And they took the time to reflect back to me, myself, in a startlingly different way. That I was independent, self-reflective, and communicative. And actually, I came to realize, I'm actually kind of good at those things. It's true. But those were hidden, because those were some of the images and beliefs that I held on to keep myself safe. It's easy to live this way, held back from seeing and believing and not living into new life. There are many reasons for us to do this, and it doesn't mean that I've stopped ever doing it. We might have a dead-end job or have a hard time finding a job. We might have an unfulfilling relationship or no relationship at all, a past wound or a fear of the future, an illness of mind, body, or spirit, grief, anxiety, sadness. It could be anything that keeps us from seeing ourselves truly and being seen by others. But Lent is a time for us to invite God more deeply into our lives, into those dark places that we often don't want to venture, let alone let out. It's a time to name our challenges, to pray about them, and to practice connecting our faith in God to the realities of our lives. Because we have an opportunity to have an honest dialogue, like the woman at the well did. And we're brought out into the light and examined for and seen for who we really are. Now, this isn't comfortable. I can only imagine what she felt like standing there in the hot sun, thinking she was just getting some water, just doing her daily job, when this guy comes along and ruins it all. But really, he made it better, because she let him in. And that's our opportunity. It can come through someone else or an experience or who knows how that God can break in on us. And we can have the courage and the honesty to have that conversation. Because if we do, we can be transformed. Transformed enough to leave away our old life and start something new. Maybe not the whole of our life, but just one little thing. Now the woman says candidly at first, he can't be the Messiah, can he? She's not that confident, because she doesn't really expect anyone to believe her. But guess what? They do. They believe her enough to go and meet Jesus, until at the end of the story, they're able to say, it's no longer because of what you've said that we believe, for now we've heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. So we all have those tentative, anxious first steps, walking away from something we have held or has been held for us. But we have the opportunity to be brave enough to enter the light, the sunlight, to see and be seen, be open to transformation, to leave what holds us back, to grow in faith, and to confidently go out and tell others what God has done for us. So may you see and be seen this Lent. Amen.